Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, New Japan G1 special in the USA. And we're joined today by James.
How's
James,
going?
you're the number one requested other YouTube personality on our show.
Really? That much?
Yeah. Like, yeah. We actually get that a lot. It's like usually when you wear the Going In Raw shirt,
yeah,
people, like, they'll blow up our stuff.
But I have the two different ones. I have the belt one and I have the one that you guys sent me.
Even before... So, like, I'm usually not terribly good at, like... I there's so many YouTubers I don't know who they are. And a while ago, before I even knew who you were, I kind of knew, like, about the creatures. I kind of knew about all that stuff. But I didn't know, like, the specific personalities. Somebody was like, hey, you should bring James from the creatures on. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, he has millions of subs. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know.
I barely talk about wrestling too much.
Okay, yeah.
Like, in general, I don't really, like, hit on it too much. I know a lot of people have wanted, like, kind of me to have an avenue, I guess, talk about it a little bit. So that was kind of, like, one of my goals, too, with moving to LA. Was obviously knowing you guys were, like, here. Mm. And then you guys were coming to this show. So it was like, yeah, I mean, why not?
It's perfect. Like, we're always, like... Me personally, I know Larson's kind of the same way. Like, we don't like to impose on people, and so we're like the last people to say, hey, come on our show, which we totally should do because it's like YouTube and you need to collaborate with
people. Collaborations are key.
Yeah, exactly. But we're glad you're here. This is for the New Japan in the... I like how they title it too, New Japan G1 Special in the USA.
Yeah.
I don't even consider like the ending to be like in the USA. I just said G1 Special. I think that was their hashtag. Or no, they had US at the end of the hashtag.
Yeah,
too,
it was
right?
G1
in
US.
Yeah.
G1 US, yeah. But this was an absolute blast. So, like, a little bit of background on, like, how much you know about New Japan. For our, like, viewers out there who, for whatever reason, might not know who you are. You've, like, me and Larson are still learning about New Japan.
We've only really been watching this year.
Yeah. Like, I'm even trying to remember. So, like, Kenny Omega was kind of on my periphery as well before then.
Yeah.
And, okay, so, no, I do know. I think my introduction to New Japan was actually... watching, because everybody had raved when Shinsuke was coming over to NXT back, like, whatever, 2 years ago. I think I watched some of his matches in New Japan, and I watched him versus AJ Styles at last year, not this year's, but last year's wrestling.
Yeah, 2016.
And you watched that live?
No. I watched it. I went back and
You caught up
on, like, Daily Motion or whatever. And that match is, like, literally one of my favorites at this point. But that's when I was like, oh, whoa, they do different stuff in New Japan.
Yeah.
And so, like, once Wrestle Kingdom came around, I watched that live, like, you know, it started at, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And it was fun because, like, I think Wrestle Kingdom had, like, a lot of buzz going into it because of Kenny Omega. And I didn't know anything about Okada. I had heard, I think, AJ Styles talk about a lot of the New Japan wrestlers on the Stone Cold podcast. But I didn't really know who any of them were.
Did you guys stay up for the whole thing?
I did.
It, like, ended at, like, 5 a.m.?
I know.
Like, 6 a.m.?
And the cool thing about it, though, is that, like, it was... And it's so rare these days that I think you get this with something that's got that much buzz behind it. Because, like, Mania is one thing, the Royal Rumble is one thing. But when you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're live tweeting and, like, you have 30 other people watching it with you and they're live tweeting back at you... That's kind of... And it's something... It's not like WWE. It's something new and different.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, who's this guy? And then some people are, like, schooling me saying, oh no, so this guy has been around, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, when you're asking questions... There was something very special about that first WrestleMania for me. Because it was in the middle of the night. Everybody was sleeping. And I was just there with, like, other people who happened to be watching at the same time. It was, like, one of the decent things about Twitter.
That's, like, the same thing with the Dominion as well. Because that ended at, like, the same deal. It was, like, 5, 6 a.m. or something. Mm-hmm. But that was, like, one of those cases where it's, like, I'm so delirious by the end of the match.
Oh,
and, like,
I know,
I'm so tired. But, like, it's just Okada Omega again. They're going the whole mile. And it's just, like... it won't end, but like you're just sitting there, it's just like, when will it end? They're going the hour. And it's just like, it's 5 a.m. I need to go to fuck to sleep. Yeah. Like,
well, here's the funny thing too about Wrestle Kingdom was I hadn't planned on staying up all night. I was like, okay, I'm gonna start this, and if I fall asleep, I fall asleep. I'm not like, you know, holding myself to it. But every match kept me going. Mm-hmm. Like when you start out with, and it was brilliant, they start out with the Japan Rumble. Which was like kind of all their scrubs. I don't want to say scrubs, but
it was like part old timers.
You had Billy Gunn in there.
Yeah.
You had a ton of like old timers who I vaguely remember their names from like WCW.
Yeah, yeah.
You had Michael Elgin was in there. I think he won it this year.
Yeah, he did.
Cheeseburger. And it's like you can't go wrong with a Rumble when they bring like in like, you know, when somebody comes out every minute, you're always staying, you know, you're with
them. It also kind of helps, too. I feel like that kind of helped me, was, like, seeing some of those recognizable faces in there. It's like, they just toss them in there, but it still helps me. It's like, even a WCW guy or something like that, it's like, okay, I can see these guys, and then I see, like, some new faces here and there, and it's, like, not too much to take in, or it's like, I got to remember all these people.
Because
that's the main thing with New Japan. It's like, I got to know all their names. And it's like, I still have trouble. I was talking to, like, a fan where it's like, Takahashi, Tanahashi. Come on.
But then there's another
Ishii.
But then there's another Takahashi.
There's two Takahashis.
I can't take that.
No, I know.
I can't take that.
It's in the very first video we did, I think in the Wrestle Kingdom recap, because we did a recap on it, or maybe it was before that, I called Tanahashi Tanahashi. And I got
much shit. That was a while ago. It was like some countdown.
That was a countdown we did. That's right. And I was like, oh shit. Like they put in the comments, they're like, it's Tanahashi. Learn fucking names. And I'm like, I'm trying.
I know.
It's not easy.
It's not. But everybody else that you talk to, like, I was talking to these fans, like, they know it. Like, they were saying, like, they've been into it since back when AJ was still there. And, like, they knew all of that stuff. And I was like, well, I can only catch up. I can catch the big events. I can try to get filled in storyline-wise through, like, Reddit and stuff
that.
It's, you know, I can get, like, filled in. But it's going to take me a while to get that full scope. Because it's not just handed to you. You really got to, like, you know, I was like, why is Naito destroying the belt? Like, what's his deal?
Yeah.
I was like, I like it, but why is he
doing
it?
It's cool, but why not? And that was like the big exciting thing for me and Lars when we were starting out this, is that, like, being WWE fans for, like, so long, and it's like, granted, we don't know everything, but we know a lot. And we're at the point where there's really nothing new you can throw at us with New Japan. It was like,
it's literally a whole new promotion with 40 plus years of history that we had to learn, like, or wanted to learn like that.
Exactly. So it's like all this stuff we could jump into, and it's like, and one of the problems though is like New Japan streaming service, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be fixing this soon, but like the New Japan World website is not an easy navigation. Mm-hmm. Like their search engine is terrible for people like us who are like trying to get into it. So like,
do you see what they do though when like when AJ or Nakamura will have like a big match with WWE, they'll put up like the playlist
where
all of the AJ matches, all of the Nakamura matches or whatever. They at least try to like make that a little bit easier where it's like, oh, here's all the, you know, Gallows and Anderson matches that you may have missed.
Yeah.
That kind of helps, I guess, get you up to a certain point.
Yeah.
But you still miss a lot.
It's just saying searching for stuff especially is hard to navigate things at times.
Yeah, if they went the... I mean, it's funny because we're kind of, I don't know, I guess spoiled by the WWE Network because they have all those great collections. Like, if you like The Rock, they have literally every skit, every sketch, every match that led to him becoming kind of who he was in one playlist, easily found. And if New Japan like started working, I'm sure they will, like it's still really early, but if they had something like that for like their major players on down, I think that'd like help.
Also have it on YouTube too, like WWE like puts a lot of that stuff on YouTube too, like clips and stuff like that.
Yeah
That really helps.
So let's get into night one. I thought that night one of the G1 special, I don't know, so we're gonna head there like when we're done with this. I don't know how night two is gonna be.
Well,
able
there's
to top.
One way it could top it.
How?
If they have Okada Omega 3 for the title happen tonight. That's the only way they can talk.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Like, it's gonna
a lot of people did expect that.
Yeah. I know. When Kenny came to the ring, I was like, oh, is he going to say, screw this title? I want that.
Because I think this is... The one thing I got from last night was that this was definitely dipping their toe into the water. And so I think that the only title change that we were going to see was going to be the tag titles.
That's kind of how I felt, too. I felt like... With talking to some of the people there, like their mindset on some of these guys, it's like Cody, right? Like coming out of Dominion, everybody shit on Cody. Yeah. Like, it was like, why does Cody get a shot? But everybody that I was talking to there last night was like, no, it'd be okay if Cody won the belt. And I was like, for me, like, I'm not exactly sold on Cody just yet in this, like, sense. I feel like Cody, for some reason, I feel like he works better with, like, a character. Like, I liked him as, like, dashing, obviously, disfigured and all that.
Yeah.
But, like, just himself as just Cody, I don't feel like we've seen enough of it yet to, like, be like, just go in, just get shoehorned in just so that way we can make this Omega-Cody, like, face-off happen. Yeah. Just because we need to get it with Adam Cole.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, I just feel like it's too soon. But, like, the mindset of everybody there was, like, they thought Cody would get cheered. But I was, like, just sitting there, like, I don't know. I feel like everybody here in LA is going to be, like, pro the Japanese wrestlers that they specifically came paid to see. It's Tanahashi and Okada and Naito and all those guys. It's like, we paid to come see them because we don't get to see them all the time.
Yeah.
But they thought, like, Cody would get, you know, cheered. But
well, it's
it didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
It's interesting. I wonder if that was a something predetermined by Cody, like if he realized that going in, because
like an on the fly thing. It's just like
I don't know, because he came out with those guys with the American like president mask.
Yeah,
and he was acting very, you know, sort of heelish off the bat. I don't know if he, because people are I'm kind of in the same boat as you with Cody. I know you are too.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. He can bring... So Okada, we know, literally, seemingly, can carry that chair over there to a six-star match.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is fucking off the hook. Kenny, we know, can do that. Naito, we know, can do that.
Tanahashi can do it.
Tanahashi can do that. I feel like Kushida can do that.
Yeah.
Takahashi probably can do that. Cody, I don't think is... I don't think he's there. I think we saw a really, really amazing match like last night with him and Okada.
Well, the drama...
But really, because of Okada.
Well, the drama was introduced once Kenny came out.
Yes!
Before that,
yes.
There really was no drama to the match.
Exactly.
And it was that storyline between Kenny and Cody that provided the drama to the match.
Exactly.
As opposed to anything really happening in the ring prior to.
Yeah.
But once the Bullet Club became an element of the match, then the drama really picked up.
Yeah.
You want to know, okay, how is Kenny and Cody going to react to each other? How is Cody going to respond to whatever Kenny says in his match against Okada?
Which I thought was all masterful.
Yeah, it was done
wonderfully. I thought that was great. Let's start at the beginning, though. We start out with Bullet Club. I was very disappointed. James, I don't know how often you listen to the podcast, but Bullet Club theme is like one of my favorite themes. And we didn't get we didn't get the theme song. I feel awkward because there's like some like... You know, like, we love you and everything, but, like...
You guys can do your
shtick. We haven't done this. I know.
Yeah, you can do your
shtick in front of somebody.
Wait, would it be better if we did this?
I'm like, look at that. And then you try to do that.
See? Okay. I'm in the know.
He totally two-sweeted AJ Styles, though. And you won't do it to James?
There's no proof of it.
I met Kenny Omega earlier. I was telling you guys, would you have two-sweeted him?
No comment.
He would, as long as there was no camera running, he would. I have.
I think we're sitting against the rail tonight, against the ramp.
Ooh.
Find out.
What if you get caught on like the hard camera doing it to somebody, and somebody like catches it?
Remind me, James. Remind me to tell you the story, and it's the sweetest story of Larson and the Too Sweet you'll ever hear. I'm not going to do it on camera to protect to protect his character.
Kayfabe.
To protect his character. Anyways, but Bullet Club came out, and I think it was, like you said, I think
it was Bad Luck Fale's theme.
It was Bad Luck Fale's theme.
Because it was his video.
Why don't they come out to Bullet Club theme? It's like the best theme in wrestling right now.
I didn't even hear it. I was in merch. I was at the merch line.
You actually waited in line.
I tried to because a fan let me cut.
Yeah.
So I got like maybe to the halfway point, and then it started. So, like, after their entrances, I went back over. I was like, screw this. I'm not going to wait for, like, half the stuff that I wanted. I told them that I wanted the G1 special shirt and
stuff. Yeah, I want that,
And, like, they were like, nope, sold out. And I was I'm not even going to wait. Yeah. I'm just going to go back to my seat.
Yeah. I wonder if in a couple weeks they'll pop up on Pro Wrestling Tees.
I hope so. All right, so Bullet Club took on sort of, they took on Chaos, but, like, I guess the Briscoes are
kind of honorary members.
They're kind of like,
I think it was one of the shows, Rocky Romero was doing commentary and said, we've gone out drinking with the Briscoes, so
that makes them Chaos.
They're Chaos for life.
How do you feel, James? How do you feel about everybody in New Japan?
God, so I actually, I pulled a U and I wrote some notes down.
Nice!
And I think
usually he's the guru of notes.
I came prepared. I put, for this match specifically, I put the Briscoes look fucking jacked. baby. That's what I put.
Dude, okay.
They are huge, like, legit. In person.
So
like,
how you're aware of New Japan, you know New Japan kind of, mm-hmm. Ring of Honor, the Briscoes.
That's, I'm not too filled in on too much Ring of Honor stuff. Like, I'll catch a show here or there, like, it probably less than, like, New Japan. But I've never, like, I knew of the Briscoes, but I never watched them at all.
They're the one group that, number one, Jay Briscoe is the most legit looking, like, a wrestler. Why this guy isn't, like, in Hollywood, he's got such an amazing, unique, like, legit, like, the fact that they're chicken farmers, like, they look like they're legit. They have a chicken farm. Yeah. They've cut promos from their chicken farm.
Wow. Before.
They are so fucking legit. I feel like they're one of the very few acts that I would never want to see go to the WWE because they come off as so legit. And the WWE, I couldn't see them in a backstage segment, in like a locker room segment with Sami Zayn doing his comedy routine.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No.
I couldn't, I would never want to see that.
Yeah.
So I love the Briscoes. They're fantastic. And yeah, they're jacked. So they're out there with Roppongi Vice, which is a Trent and
Rocky Romero.
Rocky Romero, who I love them.
And Will Ospreay.
And Will Ospreay, who I like that he just sort of comes out with them, but everybody knows Will Ospreay is like the best wrestler.
Have you guys watched any of the... You haven't watched the program back at all, have you?
No.
Not at all? So, like, from what I was hearing, and this is weird because I felt like through the entire night, the crowd was, like, awesome. I felt like the crowd was really loud, even for the first match. But for some reason, that did not translate even on, like, the first match or, like, anywhere, maybe towards the last couple of matches. It seemed like the crowd was, like, dead, but it really wasn't.
No.
They were cheering.
They were
like,
really anxious to
see this. Yeah, everything.
And they picked a good match to kick things off. You have the Young Bucks in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, super pro Bullet Club. Everybody was chanting, you know, the Bucks. They were doing the, you know, Elite. It's I don't know how that didn't translate through to TV. And then supposedly as well, I guess JR was like flubbing up a lot of lines and
really
calling Will Ospreay, Zack Sabre Jr., or the vice versa, I think. I don't know. He was mixing them two up throughout the night. Hmm. So I guess it didn't translate too well through the broadcast. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was a really hot crowd.
Yeah. I
have to watch that. So yeah, Bullet Club had Bad Luck Fale, Marty Scurll, the villain. Are you a Scurll fan?
I like his look, but I don't know too much about him.
Go to PWG and then you'll... You gain a much greater appreciation for
him. So, like, we saw him in, like, a couple matches before we went to the PWG show that we went to a couple months ago. And I was like, okay, I kind of dig the character thing. I'm not, like, I couldn't really get into it. Once you see him live and he's doing all the stuff that he does, and if it's just him in, like, a scene, it's kind of hard. Like, hey, man, clusterfuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if he's, like, you totally get it. Like, you totally get on board with what he is. And I think it's funny because, like, the Bullet Club seemed to be its kind of a floundering phase for a little while, like, once AJ left and they weren't doing a whole lot with them. And then with the arrival of Cody and then especially Marty Scurll, I think that it's looking a lot better for Bullet Club these days.
But it wasn't looking too good for him with this match because they lost.
That's right. Rocky Romero got a roll-up, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of a surprise roll-up there.
I will say the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Tokyo Pimp, though.
Yeah.
I don't even know his name.
That's the other Takahashi.
That's the other
Yujiro Takahashi.
See, man, I'm getting like.
I'm.
But he has like the best facial expression.
Yeah.
Just him sitting on the apron, like he was just doing all of this stuff with his face, and he was just kind of like. Like it was just like every few minutes he would do something different on the apron. And it almost looked like at some points it just looked like he didn't even care. And
yeah,
he was just
kind of like,
and then some points he'd be super excited. And it's just like I was just watching his face for a majority of it.
I'm surprised they didn't bring out like his valets.
Oh yeah,
with all the butt cheeks showing.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have heard JR say something about that. Let's see here. Next we had Los Ingobernables de Japón, James. Say Los Ingobernables de Japón.
What is it?
It's Naito's group.
Yeah, I know.
L.I.J.
I say it in my head, and I say it in my head. I say it in my head right, but then I feel like when I would say it,
the number of times we goofed when we first started doing New Japan.
I think one night I went home and practiced.
Yeah, I know. I did. I was out on a walk with my dog.
Los Ingobernables.
Ingobernables
de Japón. I should know that too because I'm Spanish, but like I can't.
They took on a bunch of people. Like, okay, so obviously we all know Jushin Liger. I'm not really too aware of Volador Jr. I'm assuming these are CMLL or CMLL. Okay.
We saw Dragon Lee take on Takahashi at Core Genesis, I think.
Okay, that was a great match. Dragon Lee's good, and then Titan.
Titan was doing some crazy stuff.
Okay, I see when I see all the crazy luchador stuff. Like I love it all. I can never keep track of who's doing what.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Volador Jr. was a guy without a mask.
He's the guy who looked like weird Bret Hart.
With Chevy.
He said, he looks like a mix of Bret Hart and Sabu.
I would have said Bret Hart and Neville or something.
He has Neville body. He has Neville body. But anyways, I like Takahashi is like quick. He is like my favorite designed character.
Yeah.
Like his, the ticking time bomb's design, like his character design is amazing.
All his punk band logo.
I wonder if he even listens to Bad Brains.
He has his little cat.
And the little cat is great.
He gave it to somebody at ringside and then like, he like snatched it back from him after the match and the guy was just like a normal guy with like a headset on, I guess a production guy. And he was just kind of like, you know, like going like this to him and stuff.
That's fantastic.
Liger got like, huge reception.
Massive pop.
Yeah. People kind of know. They know that. I think it's like kind of his farewell tour, right? They said that this was his last Best of the Super Juniors.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be like retiring soon. So, but no, he can still go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
He can go absolutely crazy. So Takahashi got the pin. There was a lot of great ref bits here.
They would cozy up
with the ref, like keep him distracted while they were like using chairs on the luchador.
And it wasn't even subtle.
Yeah, exactly. It was good. I love that kind of stuff.
I think I wrote a note about this one too. You said it's Naito's group, right? Is this the one with Evil and all them?
Yeah. Evil, Bushi, and Sonata, yeah.
That was the one they put him up in like this cradle, right? And then he drop kicks him in the ass. They did that to the ref afterwards. Yeah. I don't know if that was on the program or not, but like they put the ref in like a giant thing.
I felt really sad for the ref on that.
I think I put...
He needed help out of the ring.
Mm-hmm. I think I put that Evil reminded me of like a WCW character. I know like that
oh, I can totally see that.
There were evil fans.
Normally he walks out with that plastic scythe.
Yeah.
His entrance. He didn't have that.
We always give him so much shit about because like, okay, so at Tokyo Dome and then wherever Dominion was, the plastic scythe, when they have the lighting a certain way, like when the lights are down, he's got his laser fingers. It's kind of cool. Yeah. It's like approximating cool.
But then you realize it's plastic.
But then when they go to, what is it, the Kurikan Hall, and it looks like a cafeteria lighting situation, and he just comes out, it's like, that's the cheesiest, like the most 99-cent store costume I've ever seen in my life. It's so bad.
That's kind of what I got out of it. But then I realized there was a lot, like he actually has a lot of fans, and I was just like, okay, maybe that's not like describing him as like an old like WCW guy, like a glacier or something
it's like Wrath. But I feel like more money was put into Wrath and Mortis and Wrath's costumes than Evil's. I feel like Evil's he needs to step up that game. And I'm not a huge fan of the singlet either. I'm not big on this. I think the singlet makes somebody look weak. I don't know. I don't like it.
Makes him look weak?
Kind of. Like, there are certain people who can pull, like, RVD pulls it off. Kurt Angle pulls it off.
What about Rhino?
I've never been huge on Rhino. Like, I always felt like he always looked like he was 4 feet tall for me.
He's also got, like, a weird, like, body shape.
He's too stout.
Yeah.
And I think the singlet hurts that. And the other thing about Rhino that I always hated, and I like Rhino. I like him fine. He has the cheese whiz thing. He's funny. But, like, back when he sort of made his big mark in ECW, I always knew it was because WWF and WCW had poached everybody Paul Heyman wanted to be champion, so he was kind of stuck with Rhino.
Yeah.
Like, he always had that mark with me, that always, like, that bad mark with me. So, that's my Rhino story. Next up...
Takahashi got the pin on Titan with the ticking time bomb.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's true. Hangman Page from Bullet Club took on Jay Lethal, who had been storyline... Why did you laugh?
I laughed because the note that I wrote for Hangman Page was that he looks dirty.
He has very hairy legs.
That's kind of his gimmick.
He had very, very hairy legs.
He has like, when he, he said, man, he's got really hairy legs. I looked and I'm like, oh, that's past hairy. That's like way past.
But it's shaved right
this
here,
is past
though.
Hairy.
I think it was worse than that, though.
But
he really shaves
up here, though. It's like cut off right here. Like it was shaved here, but it was like, it was hairy.
Maybe he doesn't shave it just through wrestling, the hair's worn off.
Oh yeah,
I used to wear hair on my knees.
Dude, no, I don't have. for like, cause so I had like a business casual job for 6 years out of college, and so I wore socks every day, and I don't now, but there's still, the hair hasn't grown back
yet. Yeah.
Like from business sock down, it hasn't grown back.
I have hairless knees.
So maybe that's it.
Maybe he's got something like that going on. But I was also saying like that, you had brought it up before, I think. You were talking about like people's ring gear and stuff, how you like it looking pristine, right?
It's
I feel crisp, looking at his, like from like the second row, I was like, man, even his trunks look fucking dirty. Like, I don't know. It just
cloth.
He just looked dirty.
There's brown cloth on your trunks. Is a big no-no with me. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of brown in his trunks.
Well, he had a Bullet Club logo in brown.
And it's, yeah, that's not good. It's like poop. It's like cloth. It's like cloth, not like crisp leather. You know? I want
vinyl,
some like vinyl.
Metallic fabric.
Exactly. I don't want cloth. Like, I feel like he's like a really sweaty day away from that just ripping and like his shit spilling out everywhere. I don't know. It's not good.
I felt bad because people were like, most of the crowd chants that were stupid, there were, granted, there were a few cringy people and stuff. But for the most part, a lot of people shut down the shit chants where it was like, you know, these two guys and like, all that was all, like, they would just shut down a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But there would be people that would just yell out to Paige and just be like, you know, you're the worst Bullet Club member. Like, it's just like,
we saw the
really
worst Bullet Club member later in the night.
He'll come up later in the night. We're going to talk about him. Because Lars and I had a very, very in-depth conversation last night during the show about who is, and we'll ask you, who you feel is A-level Bullet Club, B-level Bullet Club, and then C-level Bullet Club.
You rank them all?
Well, yeah, because there's groupings. There's definitely a group. We'll get to that when we get to the tag match here. But so we had Hangman Page versus Jay Lethal.
The first round match of the United States Championship Tournament.
We're both big Jay Lethal fans.
Yeah, Jay Lethal's great.
He's great. Back in TNA... he did an amazing macho, like a legit amazing.
I remember that.
You remember the macho? It was fantastic.
There's a cool story in this match where Jay kept on trying to hit the lethal injection.
Yeah, well, Jay, he was storyline injured at
Yeah, is that why the ribs were taped
Ring of
up?
Honor. Yeah, exactly. They did like they made a point of doing that because they've got like a working relationship. So he came out with the rib tape. So part of the story was Jay Lethal trying to hit lethal injection. Hangman Page trying to take advantage of Jay Lethal's injury. Hangman Page is a lot more athletic than he sort of looks.
I know.
Like when he launches himself, what do you call that?
Like that's
when
he does a shooting star press.
A shooting star press from the apron.
Yeah, running
onto somebody.
Press.
I always like that. It always looks like.
I wonder if he'd be more aerodynamic if he shaved his legs.
That could be. You might see like he does like a whole flip.
That was. I was telling you guys that he did that spot where they did the outside dive. And Hangman Page is the guy that he literally went through the barricade. That's where you can see me on the hard camera. I guess because they literally broke the barricade. Like that barricade was bent. Because he just committed to just falling backwards into it. And it was bent in to the point where they tried to change the barricade out, but they couldn't. So they just used zip ties. But it was completely broken by the time that match like happened. That entire side was just smashed.
Yeah. That's, those guys put their bodies through misery, dude. Jay Lethal ended up, he did actually hit the lethal injection, though.
And
he did get the win over Hangman Page. I think, did we all see that coming a mile away?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, pretty much. I do think that storyline injury is going to keep Jay Lethal from winning the U.S. title.
Yeah, he'll probably lose.
Who's he fighting in the
Kenny.
Oh, that's going to be a good match.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really good match. Next up, we had one of my favorites, Zack Sabre Jr. versus one of my least favorite, Juice Robinson.
What was up with this? This was weird. This was one of those cases where everyone thought... At least I think everyone thought that Juice was going to get cheered here. He was like a favorite to win from what I was reading. But then he came out and he just got booed to hell. But then like maybe like at the halfway point of the match, people were starting to do like, Juice, 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 Juice. And it was like, what do people want from this like specifically? Yeah. Like, did they not? Like, why do they not like Juice versus, is it because he's a WWE guy?
I would guess it has more to do with the fact that the LA crowd, because I will guarantee you, everybody who attends a PWG show, because it's probably like, or it's like, I think everybody who attends a PWG show, I'll put it this way, I think PWG shows are attended by the same 300 people every time, plus 100 other people who are lucky enough to get a ticket.
Yeah.
And I think... because Zack Sabre Jr. is such a staple of PWG, he's currently, I think,
their
champion.
It's one of his three belts.
Chances are that's why. Because I noticed when he came out, a lot of people were cheering for Zack Sabre Jr. Mm-hmm. because he's so, and he's just an amazing heel.
Yeah, he is.
He's a fantastic heel. And so I think that might be it. I'm nutty. I was booing Juice Robinson. Yeah. I can't. Yeah, you want to know why? I just can't stand Juice Robinson.
He looked like he didn't expect it. He came out, oh, and then when he went up to the turnbuckle, he was just kind of like,
"Oh yeah."
People in Japan really love him.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought that like because they like him there, and he was starting to kind of like earn his stripes, so to speak, over there. Like I figured, maybe here people would be like, "All right, maybe he's working his ass off to try to get rid of the WWE stuff."
Yeah,
but like. They still booed.
But it was interesting because there were dueling chants. There was Zack Sabre Jr. Yep. Juice.
Yeah.
Every time he'd throw a punch, it'd be juice, 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 and it's like they were maybe towards the halfway point of that. Like they were.
Once you get into really good match territory, because this is actually a really good.
It
match.
Was.
This is actually a really good match. Once you get into that territory, I think people are like, okay, you know, I'm going to cheer for both these.
But then when they had like when Zack Sabre Jr. was like. Putting him in a knot. It was like, how could you not cheer for that when he had him like, he was like, I don't even know how he did that. He had like both of his arms up. Like it was like one and then the other and then
like, it was like,
all
right,
wrapped
you're
up.
Exactly right.
Like
it was
in a pretzel.
Like, it was like in
rings
sequence.
Of Saturn plus octopus stretch while Juice was trying to grab the rope. They got so much story in that one.
They did. And that's, it was every step of the way was another story beat. It was like, oh no, I'm going to prevent this from happening. Oh, you're going to try to do this. I'm going to do this.
Because he gets one.
Like, bend the fingers
wrap
back.
Your shit. And then, oh, just to put the stink on it, the fingers go back, which I have no idea how they do that.
I don't know either. Anyway, Zach won.
Yeah, Zach won. Match. He made him tap out. And the crowd went fucking ballistic when he won, too. And I think part of it was just like, oh, get him. Thank God we get to see Juice Robinson not tied up in a pretzel now. Although, okay, so Larson, a couple people have told us this on Twitter, that they think that Juice Robinson's gimmick is porn guy.
Porn?
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't know where anybody gets that.
I felt like he was still carrying over a little bit of the Parker like kind of like peace, love, and tranquility thing, but he's kind of more like party-ish now.
Yeah.
Like just a happy-go-lucky guy.
Sort of got
hippie
guy kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where people get porn.
I don't know either.
Maybe they can explain it to us. Next up we had, I mean, obviously the most dominant team in wrestling right now. Bullet Club Hunters plus Tempura Boys.
God.
I had to research like months ago, so I forget the genesis of it. But the Bullet Club Hunters, Billy Gunn and Yoshitatsu. And I forget if there were more people in Bullet Club Hunters.
Was it Bone Soldier in it for a second?
Captain New Japan.
Yeah.
I think Captain New Japan was a Bullet Club Hunter. I don't think, I mean, Bullet Club is still really popular, so
you guys didn't hit up the merch at all? Did you see?
Oh yeah, we saw the table. Yeah.
Oh my god.
If
you
we
know,
wanted.
So a fan had told me that Yoshitatsu had came in earlier that day for a meet and greet, but it wasn't his day, so they told him to get the hell out. And
that's
then
awesome.
Instead of him going to that merch table, he left completely and he left the lady that was working that table to like sell the shirts, but nobody was going up to that table to buy those.
There was
those
a massive
shirts.
Line for everything else, but then Bullet Club Hunter table had its own. They had their own table, nobody was there.
No one was there.
It was great. I don't even know who the Tempura Boys.
I don't either.
I don't. I feel like they're like just very recently.
I love that they did the freaking New Age Outlaws like thing at the top of the ramp with Billy Gunn and Yoshitatsu. It's just. Everybody was just like, they just want Billy to go away.
I know. Like that was the one really surprising thing when they announced all the matches. One of the first ones that they announced was Billy Gunn's fighting Tanahashi for the IC title. And I'm like, dude, literally, any one of these other people here, anybody else,
the entire roster.
Dave fucking Finley, Jay fucking White. Well, Kushida's already hot shit. Anybody else?
Yeah.
They could have Juice Robinson.
Yeah.
They could have Juice Robinson. That would have been.
Well,
the
they would because they're both in Taguchi, Japan.
Oh yeah. Well, it could have been a respect thing.
Could be.
Yeah.
So who? I wrote this in my notes, but who the hell is Jay White?
He's a guy that trained, I think, in the New Japan Dojo. He's from New Zealand.
Okay.
And he's on excursion in Ring of Honor right now.
I had no idea. Like I knew Dave Finley, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I knew everybody else on that team, but I just didn't. I had no. Who was Jay White?
The only reason
the PWG show he went
that
to.
That's the only reason I know who he is.
And
because,
then he wrestled the anniversary show.
Because we watched him at PWG. He fought Leo. No, he didn't fight Leo Rush.
It was
one of them big dudes. Wasn't
no. Cool. I can't remember who he wrestled though.
I don't know, but he was pretty impressive, and so I looked him up a little bit. That's the only reason I know who he is. Jay White. He got the pin on Prime Bullet Club.
And everybody just went silent after that happened.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
it wasn't a very good match. Billy Gunn botched the spot where he's supposed to catch Tanahashi coming off the top rope. He didn't do it.
Yep.
Billy Gunn is huge, though.
He can't move it over, though.
He can't.
He also told somebody to suck his dick in the match, too. It was like one of the worst.
I heard that he said something that he shouldn't have. That's bad.
That was like, I was waiting for the next match or whatever. I was waiting for the curses to start flying.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, kind of got a little bit of that from Billy Gunn when he said, suck my dick to whoever it was.
Yeah, these guys are professional.
Yes.
This guy doesn't give a fuck anymore.
I will say, though, when Billy Gunn was on the apron, much like, you know, Tokyo Pimp, Billy Gunn was doing a lot, like, from the apron. And he was like, he was kind of, in a way, he was kind of like, I don't want to say like putting over the younger guys or whatever, but he was like, from what they were doing in the ring, he'd be like, ooh, ah, like he's like, ooh, that's nice, and stuff like that.
He would at least into it a little bit.
He would say that from the apron, and he'd be like, oh, like he was doing stuff like that on the apron.
Good of him to put in the bare minimum amount of confidence. way to, you know, telegraph that you're in a match right now, that you care about the outcome. Anyways, they took on... So yeah, this is Billy Gunn, Tempura Boys, Ishitatsu, took on Jay White, Dave Finley, Kushida, and Tanahashi. It's so weird to see... It's like the difference between like WWE and New Japan is that Tanahashi will add his star power to a match like this. And like, you know, he's sort of like the John Cena of New Japan. You never really see John Cena or them using him in that manner.
Yeah.
That's how like, I don't know, beefy they're
They went ape shit for him too.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, dude. He's hot shit. Yeah, it's kind of weird though. I figured that so Billy Gunn is definitely going to lose tonight. He's not going to win the IC title. So I'm kind of surprised that, I don't know, he didn't pick up the win against like if they would have had Billy Gunn, you have to have the guy who's going to lose like go over the day before. That's the point of these big tag matches.
Rocky Romero got the pin against one of the Young Bucks in the first
because they're so going to lose. Yeah. Let's see here. We had
Gorillas of Destiny against War Machine.
Okay, so now, good. We can talk about, let's rank. So I have my opinion. He has his opinion.
Yeah.
So we're going to get your opinion, James.
Okay.
Bullet Club. My A team is this. It's Kenny, the Bucks.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Cody is like an A-. I'm gonna say he's elevated
because
he's.
That's the fair because that's kind of what they wanted champion. Him to be too. Yeah, they wanted him to be that.
He sort of because Adam Cole was kind of A-.
Yeah, they were bringing him up there too.
Right, exactly. Because obviously, you said this earlier, they switched one for the other.
We actually differ quite a bit. I think
my B club.
See, I add Skrull to the A club. He's
no,
A-.
Skrull's
too.
Not.
Yeah,
A. He is. He's not even A-. He's B club. What has he won? He's had the Ring of Honor television.
He's been in New Japan for what, 2 months?
B club is Gorillas of Destiny, although they were the tag champs. Maybe they're A club too. Shit, I don't know. Now I'm all thrown for a loop.
Honestly, I would put GOD at A because I don't know why I really like them.
Oh, they're great.
I really like
them.
They are really good.
And just because it's like, I've got a little bit of bias because Tama Tonga with his Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns tweet that he did where he's like, I look like a cross between the two. Like, I was just like, oh man, he's so self-aware that it's man, he knows exactly.
He has such a different kind of like, he exudes such a different personality than anybody else in the ring. He's kind of, he comes down, you know.
Even their music is like so mellow, but it's like
menacing. It's sinister.
It's sinister. It's good. No,
how
I
he
love
in the ring, he's such an
I was wrestler. Disappointed that we didn't get the cursing. But we did get...
I yelled so much for it, too. I was like, F-bomb! Yeah. Please! F-bomb! Come on!
I thought one time Tama Tonga said something quiet under his breath. I thought I heard one.
He did. He got caught in like almost like a uranage, I guess, from one of the guys. And he said like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, real quick, like when he got caught with it. But that was like the most I heard.
Yeah, it wasn't like the Wrestle Kingdom match.
No.
What a bummer. That was a classic. God, that was so good. That was so much fun. This is a really good match. I love War Machine.
Yeah, they're great.
War Machine's fantastic.
Their helmets are good.
I do like, though, that they come out, right? So they got like the full regular. They have like helmets.
Yeah, they look badass.
They look amazing. And
stuff, yeah.
And they come out and they say, last time you guys didn't fight with honor, you used weapons. And I'm like, your name is War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's literally
they are the actual
like
weapon.
The actual weapon. And so they convince the ref to let this become a weapons match. So
no
weapons
DQ match, yeah.
Didn't he
no
yell
DQ
out to match, like like commissioner or something?
The chairman,
like that? Chairman, yeah. Like yelled out to him.
And the chairman thought about it for a minute. He does,
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Good booking decision there. I know. I like it. And yeah, it's great that War Machine is asking permission from somebody else. Mr. Chairman. Well, your funny. Name's War Machine.
That's fighting with honor.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, there you go. They're like Klingons, I guess. So, yeah, I love Gorilla Dusting. They're fantastic. So, let's talk about this, the Chase Owens.
Who's Chase Owens? I don't know who he is.
he might be the D tier of both.
Okay, so we're saying Hangman Page isn't B level?
No, he's C level.
C.
If Marty is B level, Hangman Page. Okay, I agree with that. And then Chase Owens is definitely below Hangman Page. So yes. Chase Owens is the
lone. Why is he so bad?
Because he's never there. He's never there. Like if maybe he could be the best wrestler on the roster. We don't know. They never use him.
Is he signed to like? Is he New Japan or is he like an ROH guy?
He's New Japan, I think.
He's New Japan.
I've never seen him.
He's never around.
I looked him up. He's been Bullet Club for a very long time.
He showed up on one of the shows earlier this year, and that was our first introduction to him.
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea who that guy is. Why is there a fan with a Bullet Club shirt? Because he doesn't look intimidating.
He's like, who's this Adam Cole cosplayer coming out here?
Exactly. Anyways, Chase Owens showed up with
a chair and tried to help Gorillas of Destiny. Didn't work.
He ended up, again, because he's on the D level, he ended up costing them the match. And War Machine went over. This was our one title change.
Yeah, I think it was a great one. Their finisher fallout through a table.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Did you see how small the table was?
The Japanese table made in the summer.
They brought their own tables with them.
It looked like it was going to collapse just by touching it.
I let everybody pop for that because everybody was like, it's not going to break. It's not going to break. Yeah. But when you've seen the big dude go up to the top, it's like, okay, it's got to break. Yeah. It's got to break.
Man, I love when War Machine, when the big dude, when...
Hanson's the larger of the two.
Yeah, I don't know. Who did the suicide dive?
That's Hanson.
Okay. Does he also do the top rope flying stuff? Didn't one of them do like a moonsault? Or is it just a splash?
It's a splash. Oh, man. That was Hanson too.
That's great. That's awesome stuff. So
next. Yeah. Next. Oh, sorry. Huge upset, I thought.
Yeah. Okay, so this sort of... So this is Naito versus Ishii. Fantastic match.
Yeah.
This was kind of Naito... Almost taking Ishii a little too light, like getting a little too arrogant, I felt.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the story.
And Naito didn't really have an answer for Ishii's power.
Yeah. He couldn't penetrate Ishii at all. It was fantastic. And, you know, no matter how hard he tried. Ishii's always the dark horse candidate in these tournaments, I feel. Like, I wrote him off against Kenny.
In the New Japan Cup,
and he ended up going over. Naito, super over with the crowd.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, this was the first time, and, you know, a lot had already happened. But this was the first time I felt when everybody realized there was a superstar in the ring. Mm-hmm. Kind of with the Young Bucks when they first came out. I was like, okay, the Young Bucks
are super. But they're familiar with the LA crowd because of PWG.
Mm, yeah.
But Naito, not so much.
Naito, total rock star. As far as I know,
his LA debut.
And you could tell that he was tickled by it.
Yeah. Everything was so set up like, I don't know if they did it on purpose, but it was just set up to where it's like, he didn't come out for like a good bit when his music was going. It was just like, it was delayed just right.
Yeah.
He came out looking like a complete badass with his suit. Like, he just, like you said, he looked like he was having a ball because everybody was just giving him everything. And it was like, I don't know if that's one of the things, that was one of the things I've seen a lot of people talking about was like, if some of these guys don't, like over in Japan, it's like, they'll get up and cheer and stuff, but it'll be like very like, you know, golf clap, that's it, kind of thing. But it's like, do they experience that kind of like atmosphere often?
You know, I don't. That's always been one of my biggest questions. I'd love to get somebody who's actually sort of an expert on New Japan on the show, because I'd love to know. So obviously in Japan, there seems to not be that stigma of, oh, it's fake crap. You know, it's like they appreciate it. They understand that it's predetermined, scripted, fake, whatever you want to call it. But they're over that. They're over that hump, you know? Yeah. And so they can just appreciate it for what it is. But I don't know if they mark it. Like, for a crowd like us, like, is there a crowd like that in Japan? Like, they get their WWE. They've had the WWE over there. I don't know how they feel about it. I don't know. I would love to know more about the culture.
Didn't they just, like, coincidentally have, like, a couple things over there, right?
They're
like,
they're over there right now.
So anyways, this is a really, really fun match. Ishii ended up going over with, like, I don't know, four... like brainbusters or whatever it was, suplex.
Naito was busted open too. He was bleeding out of his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, and he played it up for effect too. He started going like that.
He spit on him. He spat at him with the blood.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Naito likes to spit on people.
He was trying to get Red Shoes to open. Was it Red Shoes or was it?
It was Red Shoes.
Okay,
yeah. Red Shoes were the last three.
He was trying to get him to open the rings for him, the ropes for him at the beginning. Yeah. It was like threatening to walk out if he didn't. That was great. All the Red Shoes, all the ref stuff was really, really good too. It was just a big celebration, man. It was great.
Yeah, it really was.
Next up we had, I thought this, I was kind of thinking that, so once Naito went down, I was like, okay, wait a second. This gives Elgin a chance now. Mm-hmm. So we had Kenny Omega versus Big Mike Elgin. Again, first round of the U.S. tournament. Kenny ended up going over. But I thought this was going to be a problem for the following match because this match was so good.
Yeah.
This match was just chock full of drama. The Bucks were down there. Kenny got a massive superstar reaction.
Yes.
And this was just a fantastic
A few people
match.
Were saying that Kenny, before night one, had his meet and greet. And by far, he was the one that had not only the most, but his line went back to the from one end of the convention center like to the other. Mm-hmm. And then wrapped around, came back, out the door, and to the bathroom. Yeah. So like Kenny was... The star here, yeah, you know, yeah. Like it felt like he was the star here. And like, I don't even think he would have anticipated something like that. Yeah. Where it was just like such pro Kenny there.
So I had said when they had announced the U.S. expansion, what they wanted to do. My take on going into Dominion, would Kenny be champion going into the Long Beach special? I felt that it was probably beneficial to them to keep the belt off Kenny for now. Because if people weren't necessarily, and I was wrong about this completely, if people weren't necessarily familiar with Okada, at least they would be able to say, okay, well, he's the champion, so I can hold on to that.
Yeah.
And I think that did play out, or that they actually, that is the tack they took. I think it really did make this thing go over a bunch more because Kenny's already a superstar.
Yeah.
Okada having that title at this point in the U.S. does so much more for him and the promotion in general. Like people want to know who's going to finally take it off him. I think it was really smart for them to keep the title off Kenny and to keep it on Okada into this. But yeah, like I said, this is a fantastic match. The crowd,
the top rope razor's edge
that freaked me out. Elgin the top rope Kenny. Razor's edge.
He was shaking when he was doing like when he lifted him up. He was like Elgin was shaking. I was like, that does not look good,
dude. It just that really freaked me out. And then Kenny kicks out of it.
And after seeing Kenny do his knees live. Mm-hmm. How he doesn't break people's jaws with them.
Oh, I know.
Is remarkable.
Know. He's going to have like pillows in those knees.
Oh, yeah. Great match. Great stiff match.
The crowd was huge into this match.
Yeah.
Just massive. And I thought that was going to be, I was like, okay. Because it's Kenny and Elgin have had, they had like an amazing,
a ladder match. Yeah.
And you saw it. Right?
I saw part of it.
I didn't see it, but they had a ladder match that apparently was amazing. So I knew they were going to put on a good match. I wasn't sure. I mean, I know it's Okada, but it's Cody Rhodes, and I like Cody.
Cody is his character work is always great. It's the wrestling that because like he had a match against Elgin at Dominion that wasn't very good.
Yeah, I know that was kind of one of the lower points.
Yeah.
At Dominion. Anyways, Kenny did end up going. He hit his one wing angel on Mike Elgin and went over. Next up, we had Okada versus Cody. This is as good as matches I think I'm ever going to see with Cody Rhodes. I don't think he can carry a match like this. This is Okada carrying this match. Cody was doing his part.
Yeah.
And they did a little bit of overbooking with Kenny coming out with the towel,
yeah.
The Bucks coming out, Brandi Rhodes getting involved, which I thought was all really good stuff.
Yeah, that's when really the match actually got really dramatic.
Yeah.
Cody delivered a Rainmaker. On Okada. Okada did a crossroads on Cody.
Mm-hmm.
How many... Okada had to hit, what, three Rainmakers during the course of the match?
He hit, like, two in a row.
Yeah.
He did the two with the rest.
But then he didn't go for the pin. He just kind of, like, taunted or something afterwards.
Yeah.
I like... We got to see the Rainmaker pose live, too.
Yeah.
That was good.
That's supposedly, good. In translation to TV, they messed up
the... Oh, no! They messed up the Zoom.
Oh,
now you messed up the Zoom!
Out of all the things here, they messed up the Zoom.
I would hope they would have rehearsed that several times.
Mm-hmm. Many times. Wow.
That's a bummer.
We wouldn't have been able to know, but like, no. I guess that's what people were saying.
Oh, man, that's what you have to have. Wow, that bums me out. Anyways, yeah, so Okada ended up going over in a fantastic match. He hit the Rainmaker.
He cut an English promo, too, afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, like, that was so... Dude, that really got me, man. That got me in the feels. That was like... And when Gato, especially when Gato, and the great thing is when people know that Gato is the guy that books the show. Do you know that he's the
their head booker?
Is it the dude that's with him?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
He's their head booker, And so there are people like sort of around us, I think, who knew that and were chanting for him. But to hear him put over Okada in English and then Okada drop, you know, how did you like New Japan tonight? Oh, God, well, that was like...
Before all that, Kenny came back out and grabbed the mic, went in the ring. And
oh, like, yeah.
He, more like, he put Okada over. He said, yeah. I'm not going to ruin your moment. This is your night.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool,
too. It was really cool. So, yeah, there was a lot of drama with Cody. And it was obvious, like you said earlier, this was the Adam Cole spot. This was what they were building to. Because Cody came down during Dominion, was trying to stop the match with the towel. And Kenny did the same here. Brandy stopped him. The Young Bucks stopped him too. And then you see Cody trying to get... This, my favorite spot was... Cody trying to get the One Wing Angel onto Okada.
That got so many boos.
That got so many boos.
You know what? In regards to Cody performed the ring, he got so much heat during this match. Yeah. Yeah. Tons of heat.
He really did. And I was looking at Kenny, and Kenny just laughs it off. He's like, doing. He was looking disrespected at first, and when he couldn't hit it off, he was like, yep, that's Okada, dude.
Did you see him do the... He did the Stardust thing where he, like, hissed at the ref, and then somebody from the crowd, like, in the section next to me, I guess must have did this whole deal to him or something that. So he went up to the edge and went like that and went like that to him. And everybody just started going off on him after that, too. Yeah.
He has to... I mean, he has to deal with a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
Do you think like that they knew that going in? Do you think that they knew that the LA crowd would be so pro Okada, or do you think like...
I have no idea.
Because that's what that's what I thought coming here. Everybody would be all for the Japanese stars because it's like you're paying to see them.
Yeah.
But it seemed like from the people that I talked to there, they thought like Cody was going to get cheered. They thought like Cody was going to go over with it. They thought like... It seemed like they just thought, like, the Americans, and he even came out decked out in American stuff and stuff. It's like maybe they thought, like, he was going to be that guy that everybody was going to be cheering for, but, like, it was so pro Okada. Like, there was, it didn't happen.
I honestly don't know. I think it'd be, obviously, what you said was what ended up happening, but in the back, I doubt there's. Anybody would have been able to say, yeah, this is exactly how it's going to go down.
Yeah.
So something tells me that they had maybe a contingency plan, or they said, hey, go out there, see what the reaction to each of these guys, because Okada, his reaction was almost as big as, I mean, I couldn't really tell, but man, people flocked to Okada. People popped big for him.
We were kind of sitting along the aisle that's kind of diagonal to the ring post, and when Kenny came out, a bunch of people ran up to that space and take pictures.
Yeah.
Same thing with Okada.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of people just hung around there.
Yeah.
hunger out there, I think is what I said. Hung around there, and then I think a lot of people that were sitting towards the back behind us moved over and stood against the wall to get closer.
Yeah.
Because they had did such a great job of actually building up the drama of the main event.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
No, it was really
everybody
cool.
was super into it.
They were really into it. And like you said, he dropped that promo at the end, the English language one. So it was, man, it was, I mean, I have to believe.
Does he know English? Does he know, like, no?
I have no idea.
I've never heard him talking before.
Really?
And I've watched all his press conferences, but they're all, you know, for Japanese audience. So,
yeah.
I have no idea if he just learned what to say for this. I know Kenny speaks fluent Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does both, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it's going to be really difficult. The show's going live in about a half hour, so we got to get going.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know how it's going to top it tonight. You know, I mean, Billy Gunn, he might pull out a 6-star match.
The one thing I was kind of depressed about was that, so if, like, for me getting into New Japan, I got into New Japan like, I think I might have saw it at first at like a PAX West like last year or something like that. So it might have been like September, and I was flicking through the channels in my hotel.
And I
randomly came across Access, and I saw Shibata, and like him just beating the hell out of somebody.
Yeah.
And then, man, it hasn't even been a year, and then I heard that, you know, his match with Okada, and I haven't seen it yet because I don't know if I want to see it after hearing what happened to him.
Yeah.
But that's like. Like, he was the one that got me into it, and, like, he's gone already.
Yeah. We were huge, huge marks for Shibata.
Yeah,
like, we were massive for him. And that match, when he... That match...
Is it visible? Like, when he... Like, the headbutt or whatever?
Oh, is awful.
It's bad, dude.
And then there's
blood
bleeding
his way and there's blood coming down.
I've seen the picture, and I'm just like, I don't know if I want to watch that back.
And I remember when we did our recap, like, everybody was nutting over that match. And you gave it a bit more leeway than I did. Because I was sitting there thinking to myself, they're human beings, same as we're human beings.
Well, this is before
they're not
we really
super
knew the extent
of how I know. I know, but nobody should be doing that.
No.
That was my point. It was like, if your gimmick is dude who beats people up for reals, that's not really the same. Like, that's when it sort of crossed a line.
For I was going to say, he does that. He's like kind of known for that, right?
Yeah. He's known for being a stiff worker. And that kind of is what gets him over. And I'm like, well, and my point was, anybody can kind of do that. Like, anybody can be like, hey, we have a match tonight. I'm really going to punch you. You know what I mean? Like, you have to make it look real, where he was doing it reels. And so that headbutt to me was just like, oh, that's kind of gross at a certain point.
Yeah.
And then when it turned out, like, to this day, literally, there was an update like a couple days ago. He still has vision problems.
Yeah. They're doing like experimental procedures on him so he can...
They're trying to like, electrocute his brain or something. I don't know what it is.
It's messed up.
Stimulate some shit. But,
he might be done. Like, that.
Oh, no, he's done. Done. Yeah, that is a certain... His brain is fucked up, too. It's so wrong.
All right, let's go watch more New Japan.
We're going to go watch more New Japan. Anyways, James, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for being here.
That don't work.
There you go. Anyways, till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.